I'm Brent Clough, and this is 360 Documentaries here on ABC Radio National. And today we're toiling in the world of work. Just about everyone's had a job they didn't like. Richie Benn found a novel way to cope with the monotony of his long days. Earworms. Have a listen and try to work out what they are. From our sister broadcaster in Ireland, RTE, here's Meat Factory Earworms. And just a warning, there are some graphic descriptions of what goes on in an abattoir.
It's like riding a bike. You never quite forget how to keep an edge in your knife. It's a trick I learned from working in the meat factories, on the killing line, the slaughterhouse. It was rough work, tough work. I remember the first time I walked into a meat factory. I was about 6 years of age. My dad had a load of cattle for killing. It was a complete assault on the senses. The smell of flesh and fat and blood and that almost like sweet smell. Sweet smell. Sweet smell. Of a backbone being sawed in half. I remember I ran out. I nearly got sick, I didn't though. I wiped my eyes and went back in again. It was grand then. Is it a kind of dream? Floating out on the tide, following the river of death downstream. Oh, is it a dream? 10 years later, and I was working on one, and from then on, it was a roll call of factories around the country. Lyons's and Goodman's in Longford AIBB, Keepak Cluny, Mastermeats Bandon, Keepak at League. Oh. It's funny, like when I think of those places and all the blood and the early mornings and
I have fallen for another, she can make her own way.
And the first thing that hits me is a couple of songs, and this one in particular was at Lee.
I have fallen for another, she can make her own way home. And even if she asks me now, will I let her go?
I used to love her. I used to love her once, long, long time ago. It's gone. All my loving is gone. Whoa, whoa, it's gone. All my loving is gone.
To receive, I'd kneel down there and watch her pass. The glory of her.
Earworms, they're called. Are songs that you just can't get out of your head.
It's gone.
All my loving is
gone.
Whoa, whoa,
it's gone.
All my loving is gone. It's gone. All my loving is gone. Whoa, whoa, it's gone. All my loving is gone. Well, for that year I was in that league, there were three or four songs that I just kept on singing. I used to love her. I used to love her once, long, long time ago. Jesus, it nearly drove me mad. At 5:30, walking up the Boyle Roscommon Road to get a lift at Shankill Cross, there was another lad from Elphin who used to work in the factory, and we used to get a lift off him in an Opel Green Cadet. And he used to give a lift to two other lads. And it would be like really quiet in the morning and frosty and clean and cold, and all would be there would be the night sky and there wouldn't be a sound. And next thing you'd hear the thud, 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 thud and the throbbing of an Opel Cadet engine barreling along from Elphin. And the song, I Used to Love Her, blaring out the window. And then they'd pull up with a skid at the cross. Oh, you're Richie. The door would open and three lads all beaming out, smiling, hung over heads on some of them and big red faces, smoke everywhere. Would you like a major, Richie? No thanks, lads, I don't smoke. And I'd get into the car and I'd ask them, but I'd say, I'd prefer now if you didn't smoke, you know, for my health. and they found this hilarious. "I'd prefer now if you wouldn't smoke," he says. "Well, that's a good one. I'd prefer now if you wouldn't smoke. Put on that tape there." I said, "Ah, lads, give it a rest for once, will you? Just for one morning." "No, on it'll go. I have fallen for another, she can make her own way home. And even if she asked me now, I'd let her go alone. Well, I used to see her up the chapel when she went to Sunday Mass." The whole way to Lee, which was 30 miles. That's a long way, an open cadet. Listening to the same song over and over and again. I'm going back to Athleague to Keepack, to the place that I used to work. The faces have changed and the people are different, but the sights and the sounds and the smells are all the same. Lorry loads of cattle are still going in at one end. Pens and pens of Charolais, Simmentals, Aberdeen Angus, Black Whitets, Red Whitets, you name it, they're all in there. There's a sense of tension in the air. They say they don't know the differ, but I reckon they do. Like a procession, the cattle are hoisted up onto an automated cattle line, and they're hoisted up by their back legs from the killing box, where they just fell out of the box there, and they put a hook into the back leg and swing it up, it's hanging up by the back leg, and then into the bloodbath. Now, I did most of the jobs in the killing line, and this is the one job that I didn't particularly like, was in the bloodbath, because the animal was still sort of half alive, or, well, the brain was dead, but the body was still had muscle memory and was still twitching and kicking all over the place. So you had a big, like, what, 800 kilogram bullock hanging by its back leg, and it's swinging around the place. And it's called a bloodbath, literally, because all the blood is cut out of the bullock and it flows down into the bloodbath. And what you have to do is you have to stick the knife. Well, what you do is you hold onto the front leg with one hand, and you literally sharp up your knife. You need a really keen edge here, and you just drive up the knife up into the throat area, just above the head, because it's hanging upside down. Then stick it right up towards the heart and give it a twitch at the top, where you cut the jugular and all the blood rushes out and down into the bloodbath, which is why it's called the bloodbath. And then you cut off the two front legs at the knee area, the hock area. You're doing like 600 cattle a day. It was savage, from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening, some evenings. And you know, some days you'd have to switch off the brain and just go to somewhere else. I remember there was a window, there used to be rows of windows at the very top of the wall, just behind the killing line, and you'd stare out there. Is it a kind of dream? This song, for some reason, just started coming into my head, and I used to go into like an automatic state of mind, and for somewhere in me this song would come out. And then the line moves on every 30 seconds to the next station, and then it goes on to what they call the flanker station, which was my main job. I worked there the most for a year, and that was tough. Yeah, or standing on a steel platform, and there was two pedals at the bottom of the platform, like a little cage, and the bullock would be standing or swinging in front of you, hanging by its back legs, its belly facing you, and its head down to the ground. And with one tap of your toe, you'd shoot up to the top, 6 foot in the air, up and down, every 30 seconds, because the bullock would be sitting in front of you, hanging in front of you, and it'd have all its hide on it. And what I did was flanking. And you had to open up the skin for the hide, or to pull the hide off. I'd have to have my knife sharp again, zip up to the top and stick my knife into the top where the two legs would be spread at the back and the belly is facing you, so you're cutting right down to where the testicles were really, and ripping right down. You'd shoot down to the bottom with the platform, and your knife would just run through it like butter. And you'd cut right down to the chest area, and then back up again. You'd grab a hold of the left hand side where the skin would be hanging out, and then you'd open it all out and you'd skin it out. And you'd pull away the skin from the flesh, that's what they call flanking, and you'd rip it all the way down to the bottom till the stomach was bare, and all you'd get this yellow flesh and fat and red meat, and the steam would be rising off it. And then up again to the top, and you'd hold out with your right hand, you'd grab the skin, and then with your left hand you'd skim all the way down again. There's a high wind in the tree. It was very skillful, and I was quite proud of the fact you had to use both hands, but your nails would be cut and pushed back. Bright eyes burning like fire. Bright eyes, how can you close and feel? How can the light that burns so brightly suddenly burn so pale? Bright eyes. Brutal.
Starry, starry night. Paint your palette blue and grey.
And it was just, it was obviously a way of coping with all the brutality of the place and the banality of the work and the deadness and the monotony of the work.
Shadows on the hills.
It was kind of like a safe place to go, or a way of coping with what was happening around me. And things weren't going too hot in my life at the time either.
Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colours on the snowy linen land. Now I understand.
The edge is the secret. It's very hard to get the edge. You think now that it would turn me off meat, working in a place like that. But it never did. I suppose I grew up with it. I mean, you were working so hard as well like that. You know, you had to eat beef and food. You needed to be strong. And I grew very strong that year. But I got very yellow from lack of sunlight. In fact, you could always know the lads that worked in that league. They all looked yellow. My hands became huge and I developed very hard muscles. I had nicks in hands and cuts all over my hands. In fact, I still have the scars. The worst is when I stabbed myself in the knee. I'll never forget it. A really dirty bullet came in. His belly was all crusted with muck and shite from the winter, and I don't know, I should never have been let in. But anyway, I was trying to rip through the belly to flank him, and I was tugging and pulling at it, and I was making no headway at all, and I was driving the knife into it, trying to pull the skin away. Then suddenly I hit this bruise or something, and the knife just skinned through it, and I went right through, stabbed myself in the knee. Oh jeez, I'll never forget the pain of it. I just collapsed. I mean, that phrase, the blood drained from my face, I felt it all going from my face. I remember looking down, looking at the knee, and nearly fainting. And anyway, I reached down, pulled out the knife, called the foreman over, drove myself to the hospital.
Beep.
In Roscommon, which is only a few miles away, about 16
beep,
miles away.
Beep.
Got fixed up
beep,
and was back at work the next
beep,
day.
And how you suffered for your sanity. How you tried to set them free.
Beep.
They would not listen.
Beep.
They did not
beep,
know how.
Beep.
There was that beep, other song as well that I loved, that song. Sounds so naff now, but Starry, Starry Night, Vincent. Starry, Starry Night.
Starry, Starry Night.
Paint your palette blue and grey.
Flaming flowers that brightly blaze.
Look out on a summer's day.
Swirling clouds in violet haze.
I used to sing that with all my heart and soul.
Size of
beep,
China blue.
Beep.
Colors
beep,
changing
beep,
hue.
Beep. Beep. As the line would
morning
relentlessly
fields
move on.
Of amber
beep,
gray.
Beep. Beep. Beep.
Weathered
next bullet come along. Beep. Beep. Another big fleshy hide to be skinned. But that song
now I understand
just stayed in my head all the time.
What you tried to say to me.
And I figured, I suppose, I knew just about this painter, Vincent van Gogh, and that, but the world didn't understand him. I suppose I felt that I was in the wrong place, the wrong time, and I felt I wasn't being understood.
Perhaps they'll listen.
Beep, 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 beep. So now whenever the alarm goes off in the morning, I can tell you one thing, it's no problem. All I have to do is just either think of those songs or those earworms, and I'm bouncing out of bed. It's no effort to go to work.
Meat Factory Earworms was written by Richard Byrne and produced by Ronan Kelly from The Curious Ear, a short program of sound works and mini documentaries that you can podcast from Ireland's RTE. You'll find a link to The Curious Ear on the 360 Documentaries website.